There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to the Friday Five. Very good to be back with you here for my weekly look into the world of well-being. And this week I am making a special focus on help for COVID and some really, really interesting news and updates concerning vitamin D, ivermectin, antihistamines and more, all for both potentially preventing and treating COVID, as well as some very interesting new research on help for long COVID. Well, joining me here is a doctor at the forefront of much of this knowledge in the UK, Dr. Tina Pears, a respected consultant physician specialising in women's health with a particular interest in histamine and mast cell activation syndrome, which we've talked about here before and has a really important bearing on COVID. I do hope you are listening up, pay attention, because what she is about to say is very important and it affects us all. So Tina, a warm welcome back. You are so welcome here. We've had the most fascinating conversations in the past and I'm really, really looking forward to hearing what you have to say about all this.
Thank you for having me again, Liz. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great, and it's great to be able to share really interesting and good news. So let's kick off perhaps with a little chat about vitamin D. This is something that we've talked about before. I've been all over Twitter promoting it, you know, saying even from the early days that it looks likely that high doses of vitamin D are protective. What's the latest news on vitamin D?
Well, vitamin D, we know, is associated with lower rates of catching the coronavirus. So that's really positive. And it also seems to reduce the severity of the cases. So that's hospitalisation is less frequent if people are on high dose vitamin D, and also in ICU and including death as well, actually. So so it's something that is a very effective treatment, it would seem, and it's something that people can access very easily without a prescription. And therefore, yeah, I would encourage everybody to be on a really good dose of vitamin D, especially during the pandemic.
Now, that's interesting. You use the word good dose. What is, in your opinion, a good dose?
Well, I think 4,000 to 5,000 units a day. And there's an excellent website that you and I were discussing, which is vitamindforall.org. And there's over 200 scientists who've put this together. And they talk about the effects of vitamin D and the levels and what's safe. And they certainly, they also, very interestingly, at the end, put what they recommend people should take and what they personally take. And there's 220 signatories in total, and so many of them are actually taking 7,000, 10,000, 6,000, 5,000 units a day. And they've considered that obviously to be a safe and effective dose.
Oh my goodness, that is so fascinating. I mean, I get asked lots of questions when I do my Instagram lives or on Facebook or wherever, and this question about dosage. And it is, honestly, vitamindforall.org. Do please check it out after this podcast. What's interesting is that these are professors, they are leading academics, they put their names and their research organizations, you know, they're in print, and they say what they're taking. And you're right, when I read the list, it was just extraordinary that the number of medics saying, I take 5,000, I take 10,000 a day. And then when I read the little preamble on their homepage, something else that caught my eye was the fact that they said that when the dietary guidelines for recommended daily amounts were set, they got the decimal point in the wrong place.
Yes.
So they're actually low by a factor of 10.
Yeah.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Yes, 10 times too low. And what's interesting is there have been sort of numerous calls to get that changed, and letters and so on, and it's never been changed, never.
So when you think in the UK, the guidelines might say, we recommend you take 1,000 international units a day for an adult.
Yeah.
Actually, what it should be saying based on that is we recommend you take 10,000 a day.
Yes. And these scientists, they've made some recommendations, and they've said there should be a daily intake of 4,000 units a day, which is 100 micrograms daily. In the absence of testing. So if you don't know what your vitamin D level is, take at least 4,000 units a day to be safe. Yes. And they, you know, often when I do my menopause work and we check our ladies' vitamin D levels, 98% of them have deficiency. You know, they have too low. And these are people who walk their dogs, go outside, you know, and they're always very surprised that they are vitamin D deficient. So I just don't think we get quite enough sunshine in the northern hemisphere. And we also put lovely moisturizers on that have SPF in them, because we don't want wrinkles and we don't want skin cancer. So we're actually blocking out the vitamin D.
Yes. What about children? We talk about dosage here. Presumably that's an adult dose. What would you say for anybody with children wanting to give their children a supplement?
I would say, I mean, I'm not a paediatrician, and I would want to double check this, but I would think probably 1,000 units a day for a child would be probably enough. But again, we would have to check that, because I'm not a paediatrician. So
yeah,
I can check that and get back to you on that one.
Well, really, really interesting. And honestly, you know, for any vitamin D skeptics out there, if there are any left after all the news about it, really important. Go and have a look at vitaminDforall.org. Now, another thing that we've touched on in the past is this word ivermectin. And we've talked about this as being a very safe, very long established antiviral, which has been shown to have extraordinary results in being COVID protective. What is the latest on that? Because I know this is something that you have long championed and are really so keen to get the word out.
Yes. So ivermectin is an antiviral, antiparasitic drug that has been around for 40 years. And it was first developed in the late 70s. Started to be used in humans in the 80s, and it has an incredible track record for safety, and it's recognised by the WHO as being an incredibly safe drug. It's been used by, I think there's been something like 3.6 billion doses given of ivermectin.
Billion.
Billion.
Okay.
So it has, we know how to use it, we know it's safe. And it's incredibly effective. It actually has helped to virtually eradicate two tropical diseases. So river blindness, which many communities in the tropics were completely blighted by this awful, awful disease that would cause blindness in a large proportion of their population. And also elephantiasis, so filariasis. And it also is a treatment for scabies, and it's used globally as an antiparasitic. So, and of course, a lot of the low income and middle income countries are the ones who have these kind of diseases, so they have a lot of experience at using ivermectin very successfully. And in the spring, we started to see studies emerging from these countries about their use of ivermectin. And it was very striking that all of the studies were showing the same kind of results. And that was that it could be used prophylactically to prevent people catching the disease and reduced transmission by about 87%. And also that it could be used in coronavirus virus positive patients, patients who test positive, and reduce the death rate by up to 75%. And this is really very striking and compelling data. And so what then happened was I started to notice the ivermectin story emerging in November. And on the 5th of December, Dr. Pierre Corey from the FLCCC Alliance in America did a presentation to the Senate asking that the doctors in America could use ivermectin in their acute cases because the studies were so showing such a good result. And he and his alliance with Dr. Paul Marek, they had been looking at the studies that were emerging during the pandemic from the beginning of the year last year. And they were seeing if there were some common themes coming through, and they kept seeing that actually ivermectin was a very big positive. And so they did a meta-analysis of all the studies, and they said, look, this is really very effective and something very safe, and we should be using it. The NIH in America is like our MHRA, and they had been sitting on the fence about ivermectin since August, but they changed their statement on the 15th of January after Dr. Corey's plea and said that it could be used. And so now it is starting to be used in America, and there are several American hospitals who use it in their protocol for treating their acute COVID patients. Lots of other parts of the world are using it, as I say, mostly places like South America, in India, etc., with a great result. And Dr. Tess Lowry, who is a South African lady who lives in Bath and runs an evidence-based medicine consultancy, she became aware of ivermectin just after Christmas on Boxing Day. And her career is looking at data and number crunching studies and doing presentations to the WHO and to the NHS to inform their guidelines using evidence-based data. And so she was very excited when she saw this, and she just spent the whole of her Christmas, between Christmas and New Year and into the New Year, just number crunching and going through all the randomized controlled trials that were on ivermectin at that time. And there were 21 studies that stood up to the rigorous sort of checks of the quality checks that we put these things through. And she wrote a meta-analysis, and she then tried to reach out to various people in authority and didn't get much of a response. So we organised a meeting called the BIRD meeting, which stands for the British Ivermectin Recommendation Development Meeting. And this was held on the 20th of February, and we invited 72 doctors and clinicians and stakeholders attended the meeting. It was 3 hours long, and there were 16 or 17 different countries represented at the meeting. So it was truly international, and Tess presented the data using the WHO guidelines and the sort of the right format. It was done very with complete transparency. It was live streamed. People can watch it on the internet. It's on YouTube, and it's on Dr. Tess Lowry's website if anyone's interested in looking at it. And then at the end of the presentations of all the data and the information, we then voted, and there was a consensus taken of what we should do with this information and knowledge. And the consensus was that ivermectin should be used to prevent people catching coronavirus, and also it should be used for the treatment of acute coronavirus. And our last recommendation was that we needed to do some studies to look at long COVID and see what effect it could have in those patients, because there's one series of 33 patients who were treated with ivermectin who had long COVID, and 32 of them improved. So we felt we needed to look at that as well. So we came out with these recommendations, and now we want to spread the word to everyone, the population and those in authority, that we feel it should be taken up and used. So that's a sort of ivermectin story. And certainly in lots of countries, the it's not just about our, randomized controlled trials. It's also about observational studies and looking at what's actually happening in the the real world. And there's so much evidence. For example, in Uttar Pradesh, which is a massive region in India, there are 234 million people living there. And on the 9th of February, they had zero deaths from coronavirus. And on that day, there were
234 million people and no deaths.
Yes, no deaths from coronavirus. And on that day, there were 3,000 deaths in the USA on the same day. And what had happened in Uttar Pradesh was that in early August 2020, they started giving ivermectin and doxycycline and zinc from kiosks out to the population, and anyone who tested positive was given that combination as well. So they were giving it prophylactically and for treatment, and they brought the deaths right down to zero on the 9th of February. Slovakia, Honduras, Bolivia, Panama, Bulgaria, and the Czech Republic and Zimbabwe have all got it in their protocols, and more countries are starting to adopt ivermectin as a treatment in the light of all this information.
This is so fascinating. And when I was looking into ivermectin, you know, one of the things that struck me is that it was developed by Merck, so the big pharmaceutical giant, and they considered it so important for the world that they basically donated it to the world because they knew it was so important and so safe. And in 2015, it won the Nobel Prize for Medicine.
Absolutely. So in
this is not some fly by night possible, woo woo. Let's take a few nutrients and see what happens. No. This is a world class drug, as you say, used by 3.6 billion people.
Yeah.
It's been given to children. It's been shown to be extremely safe.
Yeah.
And unbelievably effective, and of course very cheap.
Yeah.
Is it just a couple of pence per dose?
Yes, absolutely. And yes, and it was very noble and fantastic of Merck to gift it to the world in 1996, because they recognised how significant a drug it was and how important it was for global health. And then in 2015, yes, getting the Nobel Prize for Medicine was a great recognition of that. So an amazing discovery. It was discovered from one soil sample in a golf course in Japan, and it's never been isolated from anywhere else, which is quite extraordinary that they should manage to isolate it in just one place and happen to take that sample from there, which is marvellous. So, maybe ivermectin is now going to have another global impact. It certainly has the ability to do it. I think it's very exciting. The vaccine is marvellous, and I would really encourage people to get vaccinated. But it's going to take a long time to vaccinate everybody. It's also the vaccine, unfortunately, isn't 100% effective. It's about 90% effective. So there's still 10% who aren't going to get immunity from it. And then we've got, this is a global pandemic. We need to get back to normal, for our industries to get back to normal, for our for travel, for international travel and business, for our hospitality and tourism industry especially, which we rely on so much for that to get back to normal, we need the rest of the world to be immunized. And that's going to take ages. In some of the middle and lower income countries, they haven't even started their vaccination programs. So it's going to take years. And then there'll be different variants coming through, which we'll always be playing catch up with. So whilst vaccination is fantastic, I see ivermectin as a way of getting us out of the economic doldrum, sort of slump that we're in, because we can all get on. We could potentially get on with our lives and get on. Children could go to school very safely. The teachers could take it. Healthcare professionals could take it. The nurses could take it. The care homes could take it. So prophylactically, they're safer. And as soon as somebody tests positive for coronavirus, they could then be given it, and that would reduce their chances of having to be hospitalised and the death rate by up to 75%.
Yes, really extraordinary.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Is it available in the UK now? Can we take it? Can we be prescribed it?
There are one or two pharmacies who've got it. And so in theory, yes. And doctors are allowed to prescribe medication that they feel is in the patient's best interests. And certainly this, you know, if it can, this can save a life, especially when it's such a safe drug and there's so much information about it. We've actually, as a group, we're applying to the MHRA for one of these, you know, emergency authorizations, so that, you know, emergency use authorizations, which they, the MHRA did give to the vaccine, and we'd like them to give it to ivermectin so that we can quickly get it. There's also another Dr. Andrew Hill, who is a virologist who works at Liverpool University. He advises the WHO, and he has been watching the ivermectin story unfurl, and he said that he reckons we should buy it at risk. Now, we bought the vaccine at risk. We didn't even know it worked, but the government ordered millions of doses, just hoping that it would work, and that was the right thing to do, so that they had it on order. And that was the right thing to do. But we need to now order ivermectin at risk. But it's not very at risk because we know it works. Yes. And, you know, so there's not much at risk about it, really. But we need to get it in, because yes, if we are going to use it, which we certainly could, and we could use it very quickly and very safely, this is something people take for themselves. They don't need, it doesn't need to be administered. You don't need to have a big, you know, team of people giving it out to people. You've got all these pharmacists who could do that. And we could then get back to normal much more quickly.
Yeah, which would, yeah, and save lives and save, yeah, you know, potentially the ill effects, yeah, of having COVID and long COVID and all that that goes with it. Is it something that you would take then?
I'm taking it, actually.
Excellent. Are you?
Yes, I am. I'm taking it. So I had a friend who was holidaying in France from Switzerland at Christmas, and when I was very interested in ivermectin, you know, November, early December, and I heard Pierre Corey talking, and I thought, right, I'm going to see if I can get hold of some. And I thought he was in Switzerland and they could buy it over the counter there, but he said, oh no, I'm in France, we can't get it in Switzerland, but I'll go and ask the pharmacy here. And we were able to get some, and he sent it over to me. And I particularly wanted it because my youngest daughter, Jessie, is a student nurse, and she's working long hours. She's working so hard looking after COVID positive patients. And she's all PPP'd up, but a lot of her patients have dementia, and they're wandering around the wards. They don't understand anything about hand hygiene, about covering their mouths when they cough. They're touching everything. They're coughing everywhere at her, you know. And so I just thought we really need to get her on it. So she's taking it prophylactically, and so am I. Absolutely fine. So you just take one dose on day one, one on day three, and then every 2 weeks. And the there's another excellent website people should look at, and that's the FLCCC Alliance, which is Dr. Pierre Corey and Dr. Marek's website. And there's so much information on there about ivermectin. There's also a protocol. They've put this Math Plus protocol together for prophylaxis and treatment of acute cases. They've put on videos of loads of information coming from all over the world of success stories. And it's just a superb website. They've done such a good job. We really are indebted to people like them for putting so much effort and caring so much about the global health, really making such a big impact.
Well, you know, talking about putting things online and being helpful, on your website, drtinapears.com, you've also put up what I think is a very helpful protocol using different nutrients. And it's certainly something that I've directed friends to, you know, who've had COVID or been concerned about long COVID. Would you like just to run through the top line of the kind of things that you recommend for your patients?
Yeah, so very interestingly, UCL did a study. So I've been treating my long COVID patients for mast cell activation. And so I've been giving them the same treatment that I have given my patients with mast cell activation. And I've treated now about 50 patients. And so I've been giving them the same treatment. And I've also recommended that people who catch coronavirus should use the same treatment. And when they have used that, they found that they've started, their symptoms have resolved very quickly. They started to sort of get better within 24 to 36 hours, even when they were very severely ill with a terrible cough and in bed, you know, and so on, high fevers and et cetera. So the treatment is, UCL Long COVID Clinic have done a study, and they have shown that it is mast cell activation. Long COVID is mast cell activation syndrome. So I feel very happy about that, because that was, you know, how I've been treating them. And that was my theory, but it's not a theory anymore. It's been proven. That paper hasn't yet been published, but I will put it on my website as soon as it is. What I recommend is that people should go on a low histamine diet, which isn't easy, but it is effective and helpful. And then that they should take vitamin D, 4,000, 5,000 units a day, vitamin C, because that's an antihistamine. Vitamin C is water soluble and it's metabolized away very quickly. So you have to either take a slow release vitamin C, or if you haven't got that, take it three times a day. And then I also recommend zinc and selenium and magnesium and niacin, vitamin B3. I like the no flush because I don't like the flush at all. But some people feel the flush is okay, but I don't like it. And then to take antihistamines. Now, everyone can buy antihistamines over the counter. They are very safe, and the doses will say loratadine or cetirizine 10 milligrams daily, but actually I would recommend you take it twice a day or three times a day. It's quite safe to do that. And if you can get hold of a type 2 antihistamine from your doctor, then that as well, such as nizatidine, 150 milligrams twice a day. And if somebody is very unwell, I would also give them a mast cell stabilizer. But these are prescription drugs, so they do need to see their doctor. If anyone is on any medication and has a comorbidity and another illness, really important for them just to contact their GP and just check with them that it's okay for them to take the antihistamine with the medication they're on. But that should be a quick call, and then they can crack on. You know, we can buy these medicines because they are so safe. All the patients who I've recommended that to have started to feel better very, very, you know, relatively quickly.
Okay, so here's a question for you. This is something that I haven't actually shared before publicly, but this time last year, so sort of middle to end of March, My now ex-husband, who I was living with at the time, and my children all had COVID. And, you know, certainly my ex tested positive, you know, had classic symptoms, was, you know, unwell for about 10 days, maybe a week to 10 days, I guess. And, you know, made a full recovery, which was great. We, you know, we were living in close proximity. It was the beginning of lockdown. We were all locked down together. I was waiting to develop it. I didn't. And I thought, well, maybe I'm asymptomatic. I don't know. I since have had a COVID test. It was negative. And when I was thinking about this and looking at your research into antihistamines, I was looking out of the window and I saw the catkins on the trees around me. And it suddenly struck me that this time last year, I was taking high strength antihistamines because I'm very susceptible to early tree pollen. It triggers really bad hay fever for me. So I do take double dose normal loratadine, you know, from sort of early mid-March onwards to prevent and to help my hay fever symptoms. So here's a question for you. Is there a link? Could there be a link? The reason why I didn't get COVID, could that be linked to the fact that I was taking antihistamines?
Quite possibly, quite possibly. I mean, without doing a study on it and having more people try that, we don't know. But it's very interesting, isn't it, that you were in such close quarters with people who had it and they all got it and you're the only one who didn't. So it may be that you did catch it, but you didn't get any symptoms because you were on the antihistamine. And, you know, sometimes the tests are positive, sometimes they're negative, sometimes they go from positive to negative. You know, they're not very easy to interpret. But certainly I've had about at least 10 patients who've had acute coronavirus and been really quite sick with it, who I've said, please start this straight away. And all of them have got back to me and said, you know what, I started to get better within the 24 hours of starting the antihistamines and cutting out the coffee and the tea, and just, you know, I could feel myself getting better.
So here's another question for you while I've got you. A friend of mine yesterday had the vaccination and has had a very bad reaction to it. Would taking an antihistamine be helpful?
Well, it certainly wouldn't do any harm. And I am recommending to patients, to my patients who are long COVID patients and have MCAS, that they should take antihistamines certainly the day of the vaccination and for a few days afterwards to try and minimize any potential side effects. I don't know, we haven't done a study, but it's safe to take for hay fever. So why not take it when you're going to have your vaccination and see, let's see if it reduces people's, you know, or it might lessen the symptoms, because there are quite a few people have had side effects, haven't they? And feel quite ill for a few days afterwards. I've had my vaccination actually, and I took fexofenadine 180 milligrams three times a day on the day of the vaccination and for a few days after, and I didn't even have a sore arm. Nothing, absolutely really? Nothing. So
nothing like testing on yourself,
no,
is there,
well,
Tina?
You have to practice what you preach, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. My goodness, so much to take in. I'm so grateful for the time that you have spent to go through so many helpful things there. I will put up all the links in just a moment and repeat them for people who want to make a note of websites. But so fascinating, you know, vitamin D, ivermectin, antihistamines, the link with histamines, the link with mast cell activation syndrome and long COVID. Look forward to that study being published by UCL. Look forward to seeing it on your website. And you know, let's talk again, shall we? There seems to be so much movement, hopefully, in this space. And hopefully the report that the Bird Group have put out will start to get some traction now, and you'll get some positive news fed back to you from the MHRA.
I hope so. Thank you so much, Liz, for you know, inviting me to talk about it, because this is such an important topic for so many reasons.
It truly is. Tina, thank you.
My pleasure.
Well, there you have it. I told you it is an important listen. And if you have found this interesting, do please widely share amongst family and friends. And if you would like those websites again to investigate further, the one for vitamin D is vitamindforall.org. vitamindforall.org. And wasn't that just so fascinating that when they were assessing the daily recommendations for our amounts, they got the decimal point in the wrong place? and never revised it. So we should all perhaps be taking 10 times more than we thought. Well, do please head to that website for more info on this. Also, the website with the evidence-based ivermectin meta-analysis with links to a very useful PDF download and also a link to that video of their 3-hour-long international webinar is e-mbc.co.uk. That stands for Evidence-Based Medical Consultancy.co.uk. So that's e-mbc.co.uk, Evidence-Based Medical Consultancy. And the briefing paper has been produced by BIRD. I love all these initials, BIRD, which stands for the British Ivermectin Recommendation Development, BIRD. And again, you can download and print off their briefing paper. And let's see how the MHRA responds to their request for the emergency use of ivermectin, bearing in mind, of course, that it will take several weeks for the UK to get its supplies in and that these should be at a cost of just a few pence per dose, unlike so many of the other more experimental treatments, which are just so expensive for the NHS to purchase. And well, wasn't that so interesting that the pharmaceutical giant Merck considered ivermectin to be so valuable that they gave it to the world, and it then went on to win the Nobel Prize for Medicine. So let's hope they're not too focused now on developing newer, more highly priced medicines and vaccines that they overlook their original brilliant creation for whatever reason, surely profit and share price not being amongst them. Well, if you want to find out more from the FLCCC Alliance of American Doctors, this stands for Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, that's FLCCC Alliance, you can head to COVID19criticalcare.com. That's COVID19criticalcare.com. Now, just time for a very few reviews and a quick thank you. Clicking onto iTunes here, the most recent review here from Wee Gaga. Love these profile names. Who writes on the 25th of Feb, always a brilliant listen and so much positive information. Well, Wee Gaga, I certainly hope you think so with today's episode. And thank you, as always, for many, many 5-star review ratings. So much appreciated. If you are able to click the little 5-star rating button on your podcast app after listening to this, my small but mighty team of well-being warriors and I would be ever so grateful. Thank you very much. As always, you can leave me comments on my social media channels, which include Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, or of course in iTunes, specifically for podcast listeners. That is it from me, wishing you a very happy, healthy weekend and a great week ahead. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go well. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.